Welcome to GCSE Chemistry Revision, your go-to podcast for exam success. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving into one of the most rewarding topics in the entire specification, the periodic table and properties of elements. This topic comes up in almost every exam paper, and once you really understand it, you'll find questions on it genuinely satisfying to answer. So grab your revision notes, and let's get started. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to explain reactivity trends in groups 1 and 7 using electronic structure. Recall flame test colors for 6-metal ions, describe halogen displacement reactions, and explain why transition metals make such good catalysts. These are all high-frequency exam topics, so let's make sure you've got them nailed. Section 1. The big picture. The periodic table is one of the greatest achievements in science. Elements are arranged in order of increasing atomic number, that's the number of protons, and this arrangement reveals beautiful patterns and properties. Elements in the same group have the same number of electrons in their outer shell, and that is the key to everything. The number of outer electrons controls how an element reacts, what compounds it forms, and how reactive it is. This is the golden rule you need to keep coming back to throughout this topic. Section 2, Group 1, the alkali metals. Let's start with Group 1. The alkali metals, lithium, sodium, potassium, rubidium, cesium, and francium. All of these elements have just one electron in their outer shell, and that single electron is desperate to be lost, because losing it gives the atom a full outer shell, which is the most stable arrangement possible. Here's the key trend. Reactivity increases as you go down group 1. Lithium is the least reactive, cesium is the most reactive. But why? This is where electronic structure becomes your best friend in an exam. As you go down the group, each element has more electron shells. This means the outer electron is further and further from the nucleus. It's also shielded by more inner electrons. Both of these factors mean the attraction between the nucleus and the outer electron gets weaker, so it's easier to lose that outer electron. Easier to lose the electron means more reactive. In an exam, if you're asked to explain why potassium is more reactive than lithium, you need to say potassium has more electron shells, so the outer electron is further from the nucleus and more shielded. The electrostatic attraction between the nucleus and the outer electron is weaker, so the electron is lost more easily. That's a full marks answer. Now let's look at the reactions of group 1 metals. They all react with water to produce a metal hydroxide and hydrogen gas. The general equation is metal plus water gives metal hydroxide plus hydrogen. For sodium, that's sodium plus water gives sodium hydroxide plus hydrogen gas. You can write this as 2Na plus 2H2O gives 2AnaOH plus H2O. When lithium reacts with water, it fizzes steadily and moves around the surface. Sodium reacts more vigorously. It melts into a ball and whizzes around. Potassium reacts so vigorously that the hydrogen ignites, burning with a lilac flame. Notice that lilac flame, that's actually potassium's flame test color too. Rubidium and cesium react explosively. Group 1 metals also react with oxygen to form metal oxides, and with halogens to form metal halides. For example, sodium reacts with chlorine to form sodium chloride, common table salt. These are ionic compounds because the metal loses its outer electron to the halogen. Physical properties of group 1, they're all soft metals with low melting points compared to most metals. Melting points trachrease as you go down the group. They have low densities, lithium, sodium, and potassium all float on water. They're shiny when freshly cut but tarnish quickly in air. Section 3, Group 7, the halogens. Now let's flip to the other side of the table. Group 7, the halogens, fluorine, chlorine, bromine, iodine, and astatine. These elements all have 7 electrons in their outer shell. They need just one more electron to achieve a full outer shell, so they're very keen to gain an electron, which makes them reactive nonmetals. Here's the crucial trend that candidates get wrong all the time. Reactivity decreases as you go down group 7. This is the opposite of group 1, and mixing them up is one of the most common mistakes in the exam. Why does reactivity decrease down group 7? As you go down, each halogen has more electron shells. The outer shell is further from the nucleus and more shielded. This means the atom has a weaker ability to attract an extra electron into its outer shell, so it's harder to gain that electron. Harder to gain the electron means less reactive. Fluorine is the most reactive halogen. Iodine is the least reactive of the common halogens. Physical states at room temperature, fluorine is a pale yellow gas, chlorine is a green gas, Bromine is an orange-brown liquid, and iodine is a gray-black solid. Melting and boiling points increase as you go down the group, the molecules get bigger, so there are stronger intermolecular forces to overcome. Now, the halogen displacement reactions, these are a favorite exam topic. A more reactive halogen can displace a less reactive halogen from a solution of its salt. For example, chlorine water added to potassium bromide solution. Chlorine is more reactive than bromine, so it displaces the bromide ions. The solution turns orange-brown as bromine is formed. The color changes are what examiners love to test. Chlorine displacing bromide gives an orange-brown color. Chlorine displacing iodide gives a brown or dark brown color. Bromine displacing iodide also gives a brown color. If there's no color change, no displacement has occurred, the halogen added is less reactive than the one in solution. You can confirm the identity of the halogen produced using an organic solvent like cyclohexane. When you add cyclohexane and shake, the organic layer separates and shows a more intense color. Orange for bromine, purple or violet for iodine. Section 4, Group 0, the noble gases. A quick word on Group 0, the noble gases, helium, neon, argon, krypton, and xenon. These elements already have a full outer shell. Helium has 2 electrons, all the others have 8. Because they already have a full outer shell, they have no tendency to gain or lose electrons. This makes them extremely unreactive. They don't form compounds under normal conditions. Their boiling points increase down the group as the atoms get larger and intermolecular forces increase. Helium has the lowest boiling point of any element, minus 269 degrees Celsius. Section 5, transition metals. Now let's talk about the transition metals, the big block in the middle of the periodic table. Iron, copper, nickel, zinc, titanium, platinum. These are all transition metals. They have very different properties from group 1 metals. Transition metals are hard, strong, and dense. They have high melting points, much higher than group 1 metals. They're good conductors of heat and electricity. They're much less reactive than group 1 metals, which is why we use them for construction and engineering. The most important properties for your exam are transition metals can form ions with different charges. For example, iron can be cis-wive or thi-cis-wive or thi-cis-wives, and copper can be G-wives or she-wives. This variable oxidation state is a key feature. Transition metal compounds are often colored. Copper compounds are blue or green, iron 2 compounds are pale green, iron 3 compounds are orange-brown. And crucially, transition metals and their compounds are excellent catalysts. Catalysts are substances that speed up a reaction without being used up. Transition metals work as catalysts because of their ability to change oxidation state. They can accept and donate electrons easily, providing an alternative reaction pathway with lower activation energy. Examples you must know. Iron is the catalyst in the Haber process for making ammonia. Nickel is used in the hydrogenation of vegetable oils to make margarine. Platinum and palladium are used in catalytic converters in cars. Section 6, flame tests and identification. Right, let's make sure you've got the flame test colors memorized. This is pure recall. You either know them or you don't, so let's fix that right now. Lithium gives a crimson red flame. Remember, lithium equals love equals red heart equals crimson. Sodium gives a golden yellow flame. Sodium streetlights are yellow, same color. Potassium gives a lilac or pale violet flame. Potassium equals purple equals lilac. Barium gives a pale green flame. Barium equals bright green. Calcium gives a brick red or orange red flame. Calcium equals calcium bricks equals brick red. Copper gives a blue green or turquoise flame. Copper equals copper pipes equals blue green patina. The technique for a flame test: clean a nichrome wire loop by dipping in hydrochloric acid and heating in a blue Bunsen flame until no color is seen. Then, dip the wire in the sample and hold it in the edge of the blue flame. Observe the color. For identifying halide ions, you use silver nitrate solution acidified with dilute nitric acid. Chloride ions give a white precipitate of silver chloride. Bromide ions give a cream precipitate of silver bromide. Bromide ions give a cream precipitate of silver bromide. Iodide ions give a Pa allele precipitate of silver iodide. Remember, white, cream, pale yellow, they get darker as you go down the group. For identifying gases, Hydrogen burns with a squeaky pop when a lit splint is held near it. Oxygen relights a glowing splint. Chlorine bleaches damp litmus paper. It turns white. Section 7, instrumental analysis. Modern chemists don't just do flame tests, they use instrumental analysis. Techniques like mass spectrometry, gas chromatography, and atomic emission spectroscopy can identify elements and compounds with incredible precision. The advantages of instrumental analysis over traditional chemical tests are: it's much more sensitive, it can detect tiny amounts of a substance, it's more accurate and gives precise quantitative data, it's much faster, results in seconds rather than minutes, it can analyze mixtures, and it requires only a very small sample. Examiners often ask you to state the advantages of instrumental analysis. Remember the acronym SAFQS, sensitive, accurate, fast, can analyze quantities, small sample needed. Section 8, exam tips and common mistakes. Now for the exam technique section, let me share the most common mistakes I see candidates make on this topic. Mistake number one, confusing the reactivity trends. Group 1, reactivity creases down the group. Group 7, reactivity decreases down the group. If you mix these up, you'll lose marks on almost every question about these groups. Stick this on a flashcard. Group 1 goes up in reactivity going down. Group 7 goes down in reactivity going down. Mistake number 2, not explaining why when asked to explain. If a question says, explain why potassium is more reactive than sodium, you must mention more electron shells, outer electron further from nucleus, weaker attraction, easier to lose. Just saying it has more electrons will not earn full marks. Mistake number 3, getting flame test colors wrong. The most common confusion is between lithium's crimson and calcium's brick red, and between potassium's lilac and barium's pale green. Use the memory hooks I gave you. Mistake number 4, in displacement reactions, candidates often say the halogen reacts with the halide rather than displaces the halide ion. Use precise language. Chlorine displaces bromide ions from solution. Mistake number 5, forgetting to include state symbols in equations. When writing the reaction of sodium with water, include S, L, and green, and AQ, examiners do credit these. For command words, if the question says state, give a brief factual answer with no explanation needed. If it says explain, you must give a reason. Use the word because to force yourself to link cause and effect. If it says describe, say what you observe. Use sensory language for practical questions. If it says compare, you must address both substances and use comparative language like more than or whereas. Section 9, quick fire recall quiz. Right, let's test yourself. Cover your notes and try to answer these. Question 1, what is the trend in reactivity going down? Group 1. Answer, reactivity increases. Question 2, why does reactivity increase down group 1? Answer, the outer electron is further from the nucleus and more shielded, so it is lost more easily. Question 3, what color flame does potassium give? Answer, lilac. Question 4, what is the product when sodium reacts with water? Answer, sodium hydroxide and hydrogen gas. Question 5, what color change occurs when chlorine water is added to potassium iodide solution? Answer, brown or dark brown, iodine is displaced. Question 6, name 2 properties of transition metals that differ from group 1 metals. Answer, any 2 from higher melting point, harder, denser, less reactive, can form colored compounds, can act as catalysts, can have variable oxidation states. Question 7, what are the 3 advantages of instrumental analysis? Answer, sensitive, accurate, fast, and can use very small samples. How did you do? If you got any wrong, go back and review that section. Section 10, summary and sign off. Let's wrap up with the key points to take away from today's episode. 1, group 1 reactivity increases down the group because the outer electron is further from the nucleus and more shielded. It's easier to lose. 2, group 7, reactivity decreases down the group because the outer shell is further from the nucleus. It's harder to gain an electron. 3, flame test colors, lithium crimson, sodium yellow, potassium lilac, barium pale green, calcium brick red, copper blue green. Memorize these. 4, halogen displacement, A more reactive halogen displaces a less reactive one from its salt solution. Color changes are the evidence. 5. Transition metals are hard, dense, high, melting point, form colored compounds, have variable oxidation states, and are excellent catalysts. 6. Instrumental analysis is sensitive, accurate, and fast, always better than traditional tests for precision work. That's everything for today's episode on the periodic table and properties of elements. You've covered reactivity trends, flame tests, displacement reactions, transition metals, and instrumental analysis. That's a huge chunk of the specification done. Keep revising, keep practicing past paper questions, and remember, every mark you earn in chemistry is built on understanding electronic structure. If you understand why electrons behave the way they do, the rest of the topic falls into place. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode.